Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another edition of Supercoach Edge. And this time, we've finally hit the finish line. We're on the eve of round one. The season proper kicking off. I mean, round zero has come and gone, but really, I think a lot of us have felt that it was like another, you know, extension to the preseason game. So, yeah, round zero, opening round, whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to count that as the official thing. I mean, this is when our teams are locked in, locked and loaded, ladies and gents. So, a lot of stakes, high stakes on it, and all the homework, all the research has come to this. So, what can I say? You would have seen Liam's final team, which we're calling it final team, and we'll apply it to mine as well, because no doubt with the team sheets being released as I record this evening, things may change, but unfortunately I won't be able to put up this record or record it and put it up live when team sheets drop, because I will be at the MCG, of course, as I always am for round one, for the Carlton-Richmond clash. But hopefully, fingers crossed, there aren't really any carnage. I mean, last year there was a little bit with, who was it? McLean, I think it was out. A lot of people had him in their teams, so I had to restructure. And you would have heard already before I've told the story that he was the reason, or probably by extension, Bevo was the main reason in dropping McLean, not selecting him for round one. And it meant that I had extra cash to then bring in Nat Fyfe, which absolutely ruined me. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But I'm going to say from the outset, Fife is not in my team. He was in there fleetingly, but he's not anymore. So that's that. But with Liam's team as well, when he did put up his final team, of course he had Parrish in his team. At that stage, Essendon hadn't confirmed if he was either in or out definitively, but news has come to light that Parrish won't take his place in the round one team for the Dons. So it does mean that Liam is going to obviously change his team, and no doubt he'll whack up a post across socials to let us know in round as to what the changes are that he has made, or at least once the team sheets come out. But by and large, he said that his team will virtually stay the same. Much like myself, which I will run through, there is a guy under consideration, or two actually, in Isaac Heaney and Luke Jackson. Just because, you know, having some thought into both of those guys, obviously upon reflection of round zero for Heaney more so, but also with Luke Jackson, there is a little bit of sort of conflicting reports around Hodor slash Shrek slash Sean Darcy, whatever you want to call him, and how long he's going to be out for. Some are saying up to 6 weeks. Others are saying up to, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. So that's all taken into consideration, and no doubt both of those guys will be factoring in to Liam's team potentially, and also mine, which is a pretty good segue. Let's stop the jibber jabbering and head across to what we kind of start with, which is the blank slate. So there are, I will say from the outset, a couple of changes, big changes. And outside of that, maybe a little bit of alterations around bench options and cash cows, just kind of in light of round zero and trying to balance up my salary cap. Actually, I should say there's probably three big names that have made their way into my team, and one of which I think, just having seen, it's someone that played in round zero, but having seen how he played in round zero, just reconfirmed to me how highly I rate this guy, and Liam does as well, and I think he's going to be 100% locked and loaded, pending fitness, of course, throughout the entire season. Going to be a top eight scoring midfielder. So super excited to keep him, or at least start with him in my team. So let's do it, ladies and gents. Let's start with defense, which again, I won't be rabbiting into too much detail. Every iteration of my team release is kind of whittled down less and less, just because if you want an explanation, you're going to have to go back and check out the previous episode. I don't want to kind of be repeating myself, especially for those people that have tuned in across each of the team release episode. So Nick Dacos speaks for itself. Scored 131, of course, in round zero, which I will speak to ever so briefly. Got more mid-time as well, which kind of, you know, links back to what Liam and I were talking about in that episode when we spoke about Dacos. I think it was the Defender Primos episode, so go back and check that out if you want a full explanation. But we did compare when he's playing in defense compared to in the midfield. His average, I think, jumps about 5 average points when he's playing in the midfield compared to when he's playing back in defense, which by and large, I think it's around about, it goes from 117, 118 up to 122, 123 or something. But sample size of, I think it was about 5-6 games or something thereabouts. So what we saw on the weekend in opening round is he was playing virtually full-time mid. And to punch out a 131, I think kind of speaks for itself. The quality of the man, we know what he's like, an absolute gun, and will be, no doubt, a D1 scorer across the season. And next up, we have Tom Stewart. Spoke enough about him. Pure value. Not scared off with his performances in the preseason. I think he's just sort of, he's going in, you know, one of the low gears, and he's about to hit top speed when the season kicks off. So looking forward to starting with him in my team. The other guy who hasn't left my team is Harry Sheezel. Again, liked what I saw across the preseason. Not scared off by his performance in the official preseason game. Is what it is, and I think he will be a D6 top scorer. Outside of that, we have Hayden Young, which again, crazy that he's only in 45% of teams. I think he's going to be an absolute bolter this season. So mark my words, bookmark this, do whatever you want, but I think his transition into the midfield for Frio is really going to elevate his game to the next level. So again, locked and loaded, hasn't left my side all preseason, which speaks enough in itself. Next up, we have Zaki Williams, and obviously played in round zero, scored a 73, looked really good. More importantly, his role was good. And I guess, harping back to what Liam and I spoke about in the Defenders rookie episode, and I pinpointed the first 5 games that he played when he was back fit in 2022, he was actually leading the number of kick-ins. And that was kind of the case in round zero. He wasn't leading, but he was the second most in terms of the kicking takers. So looked really good, full fitness, pushing up the ground, all that sort of stuff. So he is a lock and load. And you can see there his ownership has actually jumped up to 61%. Next up, who has made his way into my team is Blake Howes, the rookie for Melbourne. Scored a 91, absolutely out of this world. Wasn't really on the radar of most people, but with a score of 91, first up, you can't deny him. I think on the back of that alone, you've got to get him in because his break-even is, I think it was around about negative 46. There you go. So he's no doubt going to go up in price. And the bonus is that he's actually played this game first up. So he's going to obviously have a price rise ahead of the likes of a Caulfield, Reed, you know, these guys, Ethan Phillips, that have still yet to play. So that's a kind of a bit of a added bonus there. So we can upgrade or at least trade him in and upgrade our team a little bit earlier than, you know, we normally would be able to. So I think with House as well, more importantly is that Jake Bowie is actually out injured for a fair while now. He broke his shoulder or collarbone, and that has shored up a spot for House in defense for the D's. So lock and load with him. Don't be silly. I'm surprised he's still only in 38% of teams. He's going to be a ticket to your first upgrade. So get him in your team, locked and loaded. If you have any questions, let me know in the comment section below. But for a rookie to score 91 and to score, you know, a week earlier than most is going to hold us in good stead by, being able to trade him in earlier than other cash cows and upgrade our team a bit earlier. So let's move on to our bench, and it is much the same. It is Josh Gipkus, again, played in round zero. 76, looks really, really good. I think his fantasy score is only 30, mid-30s thereabouts, so really does speak to that quality that he does provide Richmond in defense. Obviously not bulk possessions, but intercept marks, like spoiling, all that sort of stuff. So really, really solid contributor, and obviously best 22-23 for the Tigs. And rounding us out, he's Zach Reed. So, you know, you'll notice there an omission from my defense, and it was Nick Caulfield. So I've had to fade someone, unfortunately, just because with the breakout game for House, you know, you've got to squeeze someone out, I think. The only other way I was going to be able to do it in keeping Caulfield was potentially switching Dacos into the midfield, which, again, would mean I'm one less rookie in the midfield if I was going to do that. And, I mean, I don't know who's going to score more. Caulfield, I think out of all these rookies that I've got, Howes, you've got 100% start. Gipkus, again, scored well, you know, scoring earlier in round zero obviously helps. So it's kind of between Caulfield and Reed. When you're balancing out players, you've got to weigh it up against, okay, job security and also, you know, scoring potential. And I think with Zach Reed, he's got slightly better job security with, you know, some injuries in defense for the Dons, and, you know, namely Ridley. But also with Caulfield, I think he might be able to score a little bit more, but I think his job security is a little bit shaky. I don't know if it's the Bevo effect, but, you know, I just have a bit more confidence in Zach Reed. But if Caulfield does come out of the blocks and absolutely smash it, I am prepared to use a trade on sidewaysing Reed to Caulfield. Moving on now to our midfield, and I mean, speaks for itself. All the way down here, though, 50% of teams. He's actually gone up, I think, in terms of ownership. The Bont, Le Bont, he is a lock and load. Spoken off about him, an absolute gun. In M2, this is the guy who's made his way into my team, and it's someone that blew me away. I was still confident in him. I wasn't going to start him. I was going to try and, you know, potentially trade him in after his bye. But I think he's the sort of player that you want to start, and off the back of his round zero performance is going to be hard to deny, because he could potentially go up in cash. And it is Tom Green, because he is playing over his next two, heading into his bye, North Melbourne and West Coast. And off a score of 132 in round zero, his break even would have gone down to 91, which I think it was around about 111 or something, 110. Yeah, I think there's opportunity there for him to go absolutely bananas. Brownlow fantasy, he's actually one of my Brownlow tips for this season, but he's just going to go to the next level. We saw last year as well, he battled with injury towards the back end of the year, but I just think he's going to take his game to the next level. He's just an absolute contested beast. Reminds me so much of Paddy Cripps when he first came to the competition. Now that he's filled out, he's got that obviously height about him, that weight, that size, everything. Like, he's just an absolute gun, kicking snags. An absolute superstar in the making. So he is in my team. And some of you may be asking, okay, well, what about his buy in round three? So he would have played obviously round zero, one and two. So he's got a price rise there. I spoke earlier in my other videos about the tactic of starting Tom Green and then flipping him when he's on his buy. That still is potentially an option. If you've got some trades up your sleeve, if you don't really have to make any other correction trades, you might be able to afford to use a trade for that sort of strategy. But I think with me, you'll see, I'll speak to it once I fill out my team completely, but it really comes down to the number of players that are sharing the same early buy. And for me, as a bit of a preview, I've got 1, 2, three players sharing the early bye for Gold Coast and the Giants, but one of those players is technically a rookie, so, you know, can be, you know, there's no worries in them being covered by another genuine rookie. So, you know, with Tom Green, I think, as I said, he's the sort of quality player that he's going to go up in price. He may be cheaper in season. Who knows if he has a bit of a dip on a given week. But yeah, for me, I think he's just going to be in the realm of, you know, I'm not talking just a, you know, a top eight scoring midfielder. I'm talking like in terms of potentially top three. That's how confident I am in him. So yeah, to start with a top three potential scorer is something I think you just need to lock and load. And that's probably part of the reason why I'm starting with Bont as well. And I've spoken enough about that because obviously captaincy, VC options, all that sort of stuff, that are the little extra bonuses that come with the selection of the player. That is something else that comes with Tom Green. So he's lock and loaded. Next up, we have M3, which I think I brought him into my team in the last iteration. Apologies if I didn't, but it is Tuk Miller. He was kind of still on the edge, though, because I needed to see his role. I needed to confirm that he was getting those bulk CBAs as he was last year prior to his injury, because he wasn't getting them when he came back from his knee injury. But he was right up there. I think he was the second most CBAs for the Suns, if not the third. I think he was the second, actually, ahead of Noah Anderson, behind Matt Rail. But yeah, to score a 116, it looked really good. Bulk CBAs, big tick of that box. 116, another tick of the box, and he's in my team. I think he's up there with one of the, you know, now that that's confirmed with his role, that was a big question mark over him for me. I think he's one of the, you know, genuine value options across any line to start the season. So he is in my team. Next up we have in M4, and it is a man that's kind of gone up in ownership, and it is Nick Martin. So Nick Martin, he was my team last iteration. I think the one before that as well. I spoke enough about Nick Martin. I think he's got that really, you know, when we talk about the Dacos role, playing off halfback, he's the one that's the most impressive of the lot for me. So he is in my team, and I think he's going to make us some nice cash. He's going to get that DPP eligibility as a mid defender in round six or thereabouts. And yeah, he's going to provide a bit of flexibility as well. If I want to upgrade by that stage, potentially Zach Williams, I can switch Nick Martin back into defense and then upgrade Zach Williams to a genuine midfielder, or, you know, so on and so forth. And let's move on to M5. So another guy coming out of round zero, well, has been in my team for a couple of iterations now, but to score an 81, slow start to the game for him in round zero against the D's, but really found his feet as the game wore on, and looked really good. And again, without Adams being in the team, without Parker, he's going to get some overflow of CBAs as well. So that is going to be very, very handy for a solid score and a solid ceiling for him as well from week to week. Alrighty, moving on to M6 and M7 and M8, because that hasn't changed from my previous team iteration. And it is Colby McKercher, Rolly Sanders, and what's his ownership? Husway, 23%. He's slowly gone up there. But spoke about all these guys. I think they're the, in terms of higher price point rookies, they are the ones to have. Huswaite, Sanders and McKercher speak for themselves. Huswaite, for me, really stood out across the preseason, you know, the match sims and all that sort of stuff, the official preseason game. And I think he will be given some bulk CBAs. And again, another guy that reminds me, a young start, reminds me of Paddy Cripps. I can speak to that being a Baggers man, having watched Cripps across the years. He's got that height about him, but when he fills out in size, he's going to be an absolute beast of a player. So, you know, a key position player, you know, in terms of height, he could be playing, because I think he's 192 plus centimeters or thereabouts. Playing in the midfield is an absolute weapon. So we've seen guys in that mold across the journey, you know, speaking to Bont, Cripps, all that, you know, now Tom Green. And I think he is the next guy on the rise. And you want to jump on him because he could bust out some nice scores and make us some nice cash. So that rounds us out for on field. Let's move across to our bench, and no surprise here, we have, where is he, not the, James Jordan's teammate, Matt Roberts, 41% of teams, gone up in ownership, no doubt, since we last checked in, and yes, it was off the back of that performance in round zero, scored a 76, did Roberts, got a really nice role playing across half back, and through the center at various stages. And I think he's going to be a very, very nice cash cow. Flashed sort of this sort of scoring late last year or mid last year before he got injured for the Swans. And yeah, I think he is a lock and load. If you haven't got him in your team, get him in. Again, these guys here, having the early score ahead of all the others, when we're talking cash cows, Roberts, Gipkus, Howes, Williams, these guys are really going to, and Jordan, I guess, if you're using him as a bit of a playing cash cow, these are the guys that you want to start in your team to really give you a leg up over the rest of the competition for those people that aren't starting with these cash cows form their basis of the guys who are going to generate cash in the early parts of the season. But no doubt, as you can see there, in 41% of teams, a lot of people have cottoned on, but that should be a high ownership percentage nonetheless. Moving on to the next bench option, and it is someone that is new, and I'm kind of still weighing it up, and it's kind of, again, off the back of the fact that he's played in round zero. He's got an early score in his price cycle now, and it is Jack Carroll. Scored a 65. As a baggers man, I can definitively say that with Doherty unfortunately going down with an ACL injury again, poor fella, out for the season, it does open up, it does roll out virtually the red carpet for the likes of a Jack Carroll to really, you know, take grasp of an opportunity that he hasn't had in previous seasons prior to, you know, this season. He's had Paddy Dow ahead of him. And he's had other players as well, like Matt Kennedy going through. He's battled with fitness thereabouts. But I think without Paddy Dow being there, it really has allowed Jack Carroll to take another step up in terms of the, you know, the depth that Carlton have in the engine room. And without Doherty being there, for me anyway, I think it's virtually between Jack Carroll and Jackson Binns, who's yet to make his debut and should have had a debut last year because he was just absolutely tearing up the VFL. So that's his kind of direct competition. And all that Carroll needs to do now, I mean, he's got the opportunity. He played well in limited game time, kicked a crucial goal to help, snag the win for Carlton. All he needs to do now is just continue on with his progression, and he's going to keep his spot ahead of Jackson Binns. But having said that, I'm still a little bit worried because in the past, I think he's played 7 senior games now, and at least 3 or 4 of them have either been starting a sub or being subbed off. So I really want to see, even though he's been named in the team, I want to make sure that he's not the starting sub. If he is, he is going to go straight back to the guy that I had in this spot previously in the form of Jeremy Sharp. Now, Jeremy Sharp is out of my team for now, but I was a little bit worried because he did play a bit of game time in the seconds, I think it was, for Frio. Did cop a little bit of a niggle, some sort of leg ailment, but Bell reports is okay. But having seen that, playing limited minutes, I was a little bit worried. But when we're talking about opportunity, Jeremy Sharp probably has the better opportunity at this stage, just because, you know, Carroll has, as I said, Jackson Binns there as direct competition. But once Chapman comes back in to Frio's lineup, or at least in contention for selection, he's Sharp's direct competition. So that, for me, you know, the security of Sharp at the moment is better than Carroll's, but could easily change in 3 weeks' time when Chapman is fully fit. So, again, much of a muchness. I may be prepared, if I stick with Carroll, to maybe, if Sharp scores better, then, yeah, no doubt, use a correction trade. But at the moment, they are the same price as well. So, you know, it's an easy swap. Not going to really affect the rest of my lineup in trying to, like, you know, shuffle deck chairs to fit Sharp in. So Jack Carroll, he is in my team at the moment. And rounding us out on the bench is Jai Clark. Spoken off about him. He's been in my preseason teams in every iteration throughout. So that is that. And that's the defense. That is the midfield. Let's move on to our rucks. Alrighty. And first up in the ruck is Maxi Gawn. And I know he didn't play well in the round zero game against his former teammate in Grundy. He scored a 72. But he did actually start the game in pretty hot fashion, and then kind of drifted out of the game, and Grundy kind of just overtook him. And people are jumping off. His ownership has dropped down to 49%, which for me is totally fine because, again, as we've seen, you know, you can't be too reactive across the preseason. We saw that with Flanders, people jumping off him, and then Flanders came out and smashed it in round zero. People want to jump back on him. It's a sample size of one game, and Maxi Gawn is a proud player. He's the captain of the, you know, the side, And, you know, he got outplayed virtually. That's virtually all it was. You know, hot conditions, sort of dewy conditions, I probably should say, in Sydney. Wasn't the best. Can't make excuses, though. But I can see the reason why people are a little bit scared. Another year older, all that sort of stuff. But you look at it, and Gawn is the only ruckman, virtually, that's established for the D's. So, you know, they've got Fullerton, I think they picked up from Brisbane, who, you know, could help out. They've got Josh Shackey as well to give him a chop out. But, you know, Sydney just kind of, they went in with a tactic to work over Gawn physically. And by the end of the game, he was absolutely tanked. He was copping hits. He was, you know, a bit of sly hits and stuff across his midriff, all that sort of stuff. And they worked him over. But I think, nonetheless, he is a proud player and he's going to come out and smash it. And, you know, for his ownership to drop below 50%, totally fine by me. And yeah, people may be trying to get him back in once he starts flashing those big ceiling scores that we know that he can, which he did only in the game prior, in the official preseason game against Carlton, when he scored, what was it, 188 or there it was, or thereabouts. So again, don't be too scared. Back in your research. Don't let one game ruin everything. But it's totally up to you. You do you, boo, as I say. Alrighty, let's jump into this next guy. It goes without saying again, haven't changed these guys all preseason. Brodie Grundy, 71% of teams. He's skyrocketed. People kind of held that same thought that they now have about Gawn for Grundy, where like, oh, you know, he's not performing well across the preseason. Like, he only scored 60 super coach points in, you know, 60% of game time in the game against the Giants in the preseason game. Again, we can't be too fickle. And it just shows you that the bulk of the competition are very reactionary. So when people zig, you should zag. That's always my thinking. And I'm a bit miffed that Grundy did come out and smash it, because we may have been in a territory where people are kind of left to, you know, weigh up between a Gawn and a Grundy, maybe going for a Cherry or someone who is probably the only other option that I'd be considering outside of these two guys. Or, you know, if you're going up to an English. But, or, you know, I guess tactically, it might have been, you know, beneficial for those of us with Gawn and Grundy if they were ditching a Gawn and Grundy and going up to English, because, you know, you're going to have to suddenly find 250-300k to now bring English into your team. So you're going to have to tear your team apart. So again, backed in Brodie Grundy, backed in Gawny, and they will be the Gawndy combination heading into the season. And R3, we have Naismith. Now, I know he hasn't been selected for the round one side against Carlton, but liked what I saw, really loved what I saw in the opening round zero game against the Suns. Nank the Tank, I am not convinced. I mean, you know, coaching staff, fitness staff, all that sort of stuff. But from what's been publicized about Nank's injury, which is a plantar fascia injury, which runs beneath your foot, and apparently it can be re-aggravated very, very easily, which he did across the preseason, and part of the reason why he didn't play in round zero. So to go into the game without any ruck support at all, I mean, they've got, Bolter, potentially is a bit of a ruck hit, chop out when the ball's forward, given Bolter is playing as a forward now. But I just think potentially there may be a bit of a late in, and I thought at minimum that they would be, you know, providing Nank with a little bit of a chop out in the form of whether it's Naismith, whether it's Samson Ryan, but to go into this to the game with just Nank could spell trouble, really, especially against a mobile ruckman in TDK. You know, he could really run Nank ragged. And part of the reason why I've stuck with Naismith, it's a longer term play, and I think that Nank, given that he's battled with this this niggly injury, which, if you haven't heard, it's the sort of injury that you can re-aggravate very easily, as I said, but also gets to a stage where if it doesn't improve, you may need surgery. So it's not as if you've come back from, you know, a strain of some sort, a hamstring injury. Like, it's very much an injury that can crop up its head yet again. So I'm banking on Nank getting injured at some stage or another, if not in the round one game. Hopefully not, but they're playing with fire here, the Tigs, and we'll wait and see. But the other option, of course, is going for a Livingston as a sort of non-playing player, as a ruck forward. I can see the merit in it, but I think with Naismith having a 93 already, I don't think Livingston's going to play at all. So he's literally just going to be a non-playing player, which is what Naismith is at the moment. I can afford to, you know, use the extra 20K on top of Livingston to afford to bring Naismith in on the off chance that Naismith may play at some stage or another in season. So at this stage, happy enough with that, and it's no difference. If they're not playing, they're not playing. Only really affects me for round one because obviously won't be able to use Naismith as a loophole option considering he's playing in the first game. But I think, you know, there's a chance there that he may play in season. If Livingston is there, he's not going to play, I don't think, anyway, for West Coast. So, yeah, that's kind of my thinking behind that. But one thing I will say, just quickly with regards to Livingston and Naismith, it comes down to your structure and if you need that extra 20K to, you know, spend elsewhere. For me, I don't need it, so I can afford to have Naismith starting in my team on the bench. So, yeah, it's up to you totally what you want to do. The only other thing to think of with Livingston is, yes, there's benefit if you have a Luke Jackson in your forward line to swing Livingston into the forward line and then swing Jackson into the rucks as a bit of cover if need be. But, of course, it is best 18 across the early bye round, so it doesn't really matter where Jackson plays at the moment. And I think the other thing as well is that if you've got Livingston starting in your R3 position and Naismith eventually comes back, and looks as though, yes, he's got a 93 in his first, you know, game. If he comes out and smashes it, similar sort of scoring as a solo rock because Nank is injured or thereabouts or suspended, which can happen with Nank, it does mean that you're going to have to find suddenly extra cash to upgrade Livingston to Naismith, or alternatively, you're going to have to switch Livingston into the forward line and then upgrade another player to Naismith or potentially downgrade a player to Naismith, which is probably the only option you'd be able to do without sort of decimating your team and spending unnecessary cash on upgrading Livingston to Naismith. So that's kind of my forward thinking. Enough about that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So let's move on to our forwards now. And a bit of a segue because spoke of Luke Jackson. He makes his way into my team. I am of the opinion that considering Sean Darcy, no, we want Hodor slash Shrek. He, given his injury history, I think there's a fair chance that this, you know, arthroscope, whatever it was that he had in his knee, is going to hold him out for an extra couple of weeks. On top of what they've said, there have been reports saying 3 to 4, other reports saying, you know, 4 to 6. I think it's sort of on the longer end of the scale, 4 to 6. And considering that, Luke Jackson as the number one ruck should come out, and as we've seen, can average very, very well. I think it's an extra 25 to 30 average points or something ridiculous. So off the back of that, he is in my team. And I do have a bit of a forward plan as well, if need be, if Darcy comes back in. Of course, Jackson's going to go forward and he's going to sort of drop down to around about that 80-odd average when he's playing as a pure forward. So, you know, I am prepared, depending on the number of trades that I've spent, to trade out Jackson to, you know, sideways type option to a genuine primo. So that's on the cards potentially, but at that price point, I prefer to hold Jackson because that is sort of the keeper price point that we're talking about there. So he is in F1. In F2 is another guy that has made his way into my team that has traditionally been a burn man for me, but considering that I'm not going for the burn man in 5, I've got an opening. So come on in, Isaac Heaney. You are in F2. Off the back of a score of 144, spoke enough about guys that have scored early in round 0 compared to other guys that haven't yet played. He is going to make us some bulk cash. The big thing for me is the fact that he has the role. We saw in round 0, without the fact that they've got Adams missing, without Parker without Mills. There is opportunity there for him to play bulk CBAs. Having said that, I am still a little bit worried that he will be switched forward in-game, if need be, depending on the circumstances of the game and the matchup against the team that they're playing on a given week. So there still is a little bit of a worry there, but I think with 144 as a bit of a starting base, there's an opportunity there for him to make us cash. And my plan, which he's not a keeper. You may be able to select him as a keeper because, I mean, previous years he has been able to score or average around about anywhere between 80 to mid-90s as virtually just like a pure forward. So if he's playing as a midfielder, that does, you know, I guess push up his average. And, you know, by all accounts, he could finish as a top six scoring forward, which is totally fine. But obviously another Sydney player means that I've got another player with an early buy. My plans from here, in F1 and F2, I was keen to have Flanders in my team. I won't be able to fit him in because it means that I'll have Tom Green, Took Miller, and also Flanders on the bye on the same week, which is just too many guys on the one bye. I think I want to restrict it to two in the form of Tom Green and Took Miller when we're talking about, you know, primos. So my plan here with Heaney is to potentially trade him out once he's made us a little bit of cash, ride him. It's a bit of the, you know, what we spoke about with Tom Green. It's the Tom Green, tactic where you're riding a player up until their bye, trading to another player that's coming out of their bye, and sailing to the sunset. So that's what I'm planning to do with Isaac Heaney. I'm looking to potentially trade him to Sam Flanders after Flanders has had his bye. And by that stage, hopefully Heaney, because Gold Coast have their bye in what, round three? So hopefully by that stage, you know, Heaney's made us a little bit of cash. He will have had the, what price, one price rise? He's round zero, one, two. Yeah, so he would have had the one price rise. Actually, two price rises because including round three, he'll be playing. Hopefully, with two price rises, he can go up to around about 550. And then I can trade him to Sam Flanders, which may seem like a bit of a waste. It'll give me around about, depending on, you know, the price rise for Flanders, but may give me anywhere between a 50 to, you know, 30K increase. But for me, it's virtually just a tactic to navigate the buys and use one of my, you know, 40 trades that we've got to navigate the early buys, because a lot of people will be, you know, doing that across multiple players, which I think, you know, for me, the maximum amount of trades that I'll be using to use this tactic or to do this tactic will be two. I don't want to be really wasting any more other trades outside of two for sideways moves to navigate the buys. I'm not really a big advocate of it. Comes down to you and what you want to do, but I mean, we saw last year with the amount of injuries and suspensions more so that they no doubt will crop up again, especially suspensions with, you know, the AFL having enacted as a proper rule. Anyone that has, you know, driven a player into the ground when they're tackled from behind, all that sort of stuff, changing of landscape, that's that sort of thing. So that is my tactic around Heaney. In F3 is a guy that was made his way into my team last time. Still there, Zach Fisher, going to have that really nice role alongside She's Nuts and McKercher, distributing from defense. And yeah, going to be a nice little playing cash cow there. Scrolling up to the highest owned forward for F4 for me is Harley Reid. And yeah, he's going to be a superstar, no doubt about it. Hopefully he can spend a majority of time in midfield, because we saw in the official practice game that, yeah, he can score well compared to when he's playing off defense, which I think they will stick him in the midfield. That's kind of, that's his bread and butter. That's where he does his best stuff. And they don't really need to play him off halfback and be absolutely slaughtered week after week, because poor West Coast are going to be in another year of development. So let's move on to F5. And Alex Sexton, 60% of teams. Good to see his ownership gone up. If you haven't got him, get on him. He's going to be one of the biggest cash cows this season. And his role, it's true. It's pure. Off the halfback line, he scored a 73 in the opening game. The only thing that let him down was his disposal efficiency. He ran about 50 to 60 odd. Wasn't the best. Otherwise, probably would have scored around about 85 plus. And yeah, an absolute lock and load for my team, and should be likewise for everyone else's. And rating us out on the field is Darcy Wilson. In 65% of teams, we saw in the preseason game, St Kilda against Essendon, absolutely smashed it, an absolute gun of a player. So get him in your team, DPP as well, so very, very handy. The other option as well I had was, I think in my previous iteration of my team, I had Wilson in Carroll's spot, just to allow that sort of DPP swing, but with Jordan in the midfield, I can do that anyway. So if I wanted to swing that, put James Jordan in the forward line, and then sort of choose between playing Wilson, Roberts, Carroll, or if I go with Sharp, or Jai Clark, I can do that. So that's the reason that he's in my forward line at the moment, but as I said, can switch into the midfield. Rounding us out on the bench is another guy, high price point, and it is Charlie Lazaro. Looked really good in the preseason. I think he's going to get really good opportunity in the midfield, and yeah, should be able to make us some nice coin. Not a massive fan of really carrying guys at this price point on the bench, but really does come down to, I guess, you know, performances from week to week. If Wilson sort of falters, if Reed falters, easy swing on field, and yeah, it comes down to me for opportunity, which Lazaro has got, and he's shown a little bit of form across the preseason whilst having that opportunity in the engine room. So he is in my team. And to round this out, it is Aaron Cadman. Again, another cash cow that played early in round zero. 55 looked really good. The big thing for me with him as to why I chose him over the likes of, you know, potentially a Sharp, or guys like that, is just the fact that, you know, yes, he's played the early game first up, should max out in price ahead of any other rookie that only plays the first game round one. But his next two games, as I said, with Tom Green, North Melbourne and West Coast, which especially against North Melbourne, they really struggle for defensive, you know, I guess height for them. So I think, as we saw with Hogan, had a bit of a day out against the Pies. I can see Cadman likewise having a bit of a day out against North Melbourne especially, but also West Coast as well. Both, you know, developing teams, and there's opportunity there for him to really springboard and make us some early cash. And then if we want to, we can always, you know, train him down in round two when he has made his first, you know, price rise. If there's someone else that's burst out of the blocks, maybe a Sean Manor, for example, like he would have only played, you know, the two games, and Cadman would have played round 0, 1, and 2, so would have played the three games. So you can easily trade Cadman down to Manor and make some early cash. Also, Cadman, negative 10 break even, so it kind of speaks for itself there. Oh, sorry, Windsor. So Windsor was in my team as well, so I obviously can't afford Windsor in my team because I've only got a remaining salary of 3,300. I would have liked to had Windsor in my team, considering that he you know, played first up. But for me with Windsor, it scored a 58, was okay, but I really think he struggled to adapt to the speed of senior footy. And off the back of that, I mean, Bailey Laurie was subbed. And if Laurie doesn't play, isn't selected in the round one side for the Ds, I could see Windsor potentially starting as the sub or maybe even being subbed off. And that's my worry as well. For a rookie at a higher price point, we can't afford to have that because it's going to hold his price rise potential even more at being at that higher price point. So his break-even now off the back of that one game is only 7. But if he is subbed off for a small score or as a starting sub and only scores a pittance, his cash-making potential just hits a brick wall straight away. So I'm a big fan of Windsor as a player, but I am a little bit worried about him being potentially a sub, whether it be starting or subbed off in game. But again, probably comes down to the team sheets for Melbourne. If Laurie isn't selected, I'll be a little bit more worried. Let's just say that. But that's it, ladies and gents. That is my team as it looks. Happy enough with the structure, which I'll just roll through quickly. So in defense, as has always been the case, I've got 3 primos, 2 rookies, on field, so that's a 3-2 structure. Sorry, 4-2 structure. Then in the midfield, I've got Bont, Green, Miller, who I'm counting as genuine out-and-out primos. Nick Martin's on the cusp. I'll say he's mid-pricer. Jordan, I'll sort of classify as a rookie. So I've gone with a 3 primo, 1 mid-pricer, and 4 rookie setup on field for the midfield. And then, of course, on the bench there, just all rookies and cash cows. In the rucks, I'm going to count both of these guys, hands down, the Gaundy combo, as two primos. And then in the forward line, I'm going to count Jackson as a primo. But it's dependent upon, obviously, as I said, with Sean Darcy being out of the team. Isaac Henny is maybe a primo, but at this stage, I don't know if he will be. So both of these guys, I'll say they're primos at this stage, but again, maybe sort of someone that's all guys that I'm looking to bring back into my team if I do eventually trade them out using that tactic. Zach Fisher is mid-pricer. And then, of course, the three rookies here in Reed, Sexton, and Wilson. And then the rookies on the bench. So in terms of the number of primos I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If I'm counting Jackson and Heaney, 10, 11 set up. I'm going to count them as a primo now because I'm going to, you know, go down that path of maybe trading Heaney to Flanders, who I see as a primo anyway. So that gives me 10. If I keep Jackson, that's 11. So that's pretty much my setup. Happy with it across the board. I think this is probably the one season where I've gone into the year relatively happy and not overly worried about any changes. Probably off the back of round zero as well. If we didn't have round zero, I'd be worried about Zach Williams. I'd be worried about Kipkis. Howes wouldn't be in my team. So we're a little bit blessed, despite the fact that round zero has been a little bit of an annoyance. I think it has actually helped us in the long run. More so with cash cows as well. And, you know, Tom Green seeing some exposed form as well as Tuk Miller. So, and outside of that structure, I think the good tactic that I've gone into the season with that I'm pretty happy with is I've got enough of the, I guess, cash cows that have played round zero and will give me that early price rise. So I've got Cadman in 1, Sexton 2, Carroll 3, Roberts 4, Jordan 5, Gipka 6, Howes 7, and Williams 8. I'm not going to count Naismith because obviously hasn't been selected for the round 1 team as yet. Unless he's a late in, of course. But what that's going to give me is going to hold me in good stead to really upgrade my team as early as possible and cash in those maxed out cash cows, or at least at a point where they've made enough cash for me to, you know, grab a player that has dropped in price, say like a, you know, a Goulden who I was keen on starting, who was in my last team iteration, 622. His break even is now 146. Could potentially drop below 600k. So, you know, what if you were able to, you know, trade a Heaney up to Goulden? Like, you'd jump at that in a heartbeat. So that's potentially another option as well. Or maybe even a Luke Jackson up to Errol Goulden, so on and so forth. So really, that's kind of my thinking around all these cash cows. And especially those having played round zero. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section below if you are tuning in via YouTube. Always happy to hear your thoughts and comments. How does it compare to your team? Are you fading any of the guys that I've got? Or alternatively, are you bringing in guys that I don't have in my team? So let us know in the comment section below. If you're listening to us via the via audio podcast, feel free to hit us up across socials, Facebook, Twitter is probably more responsive, slash X, whatever you want to call it. So we're more responsive on there. So slide into our DMs or hit us up on Twitter slash X. And outside of that, if you have enjoyed our content across the course of the preseason, so we're going to call round zero the preseason as well. But if you have enjoyed it, please consider giving us a subscribe here on YouTube. If you're listening to us on audio podcast, give us a rating, whether or not you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple, whatever platform it is. We really are appreciative. We have seen the reviews and the star system going up on the likes of Spotify and Apple. So that is absolutely fantastic. And if you're listening to us on audio podcast, jump across to the YouTube and just check it out. Just give us a little bit of a little bit of a taste as well, because for these sort of things, the visual platform is much easier to follow along as opposed to if you're just tuning in via audio podcast. And give us a like, give us a sub, all that sort of stuff. Really do appreciate, again, all the support that everyone has given us across the course of the preseason, whether or not you listen to us across our podcast, watched our vodcast on YouTube, interacted with us across our socials, and even as well, jumped into our Discord, which, again, as I say this, I will point or motion down below, because we will be putting a link, as we always have done in recent videos, a link to our Discord, which is a free platform like Twitter, like Big Footy, all that sort of stuff, where you can jump on. It's a growing community of Supercoach, what we're calling Edges, which again has a different meaning, but we'll stick with it. But the Supercoach Edge community is growing, it's flourishing heading into this season. So I really are appreciative of the people that have jumped on board for that. So make sure you do that via the link below. And also our overall, league, Open League, or what do you want to call it? It's the Supercoach Edge Open League, which is unlimited spots. Jump into that. We are giving away our Supercoach Edge, coveted Supercoach Edge Championship ring to the overall leader come at the end of the season. So make sure to be across that. Again, we will be putting the link down below. I'll see if it just pops up here. I might be able to flash it up on the screen ever so quickly. These are the amount of leagues that I'm in. It's absolutely ridiculous. So that's it there. As you can see, let me just shift this across a little bit so you can see. That there is a league code for the Supercoach Edge Legends Cup. It is 123391. So make sure you jump into that. 603 people have joined thus far. Hoping to get that right up there. So make sure you jump on in. But that is it, ladies and gents. What can I say from here on out? Really do appreciate all the support, as I said. Stay tuned, of course, from next week onwards. We will be going back to regular programming, our vodcast, weekly podcast, however you want to consume. It's totally up to you. And we will be back with some of the regular segments, as you would have seen in our previous round zero recap video, which was I'm the Captain Now, which is making its return, of course, plus a couple of potentially new segments. So keep a lookout for that, a bit of fun. Outside of that, if you have any comments, questions, let us know down below. If you're watching us on YouTube, slide into our DMs, hit us up on Twitter and X. And aside from that, we'll see you on the other side. All the very best for your team's construction. And hopefully you, whittle it down to a team that you are really, really happy with. And we come out the other side of round one, having scored a massive, massive score. So all the very best for the round ahead, for the season launch, and we will see you next week coming out of round one for our first episode. We'll catch you then. Cheers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.